I'm going to die soon. And nobody will mourn my death. Unless I make them. I've locked up Jewish elders from all over Israel inside the Hippodrome at Jericho. Upon my death, they are to be executed. There will be mourning at my death after all. That will be my last mass murder, but far from my first. I'm King Herod the Great.
Herod the Great was wealthy beyond imagination. He was a visionary builder, a wily politician, and a brutal leader. Later in his life, he was in constant physical pain and became increasingly paranoid, a deadly combination.
My golden coffin is studded with gemstones and draped with purple cloth. I will be buried in my finest clothes with a crown of gold on my head. Crowds will line the miles from Jerusalem to my palace at Herodium, where I will be buried in a secret place. Most of the people in this vast crowd of mourners won't technically be mourning my death. They'll be celebrating it. It'll be just like one of my sons to snatch the crown off of my head before I'm buried. Why should you be interested in the ravings of a dying man who is certifiably crazy? Because my family and I will have great influence over the life of your precious Lord Jesus and his apostles, even though I will be dead and gone. I had 10 wives and 10 children. I murdered several of them, so none of those enter into the story of Jesus. I've endowed a quarter of my territory to my sister Salome, but she doesn't enter into this story. Another fourth goes to my son Archelaus. He's not important. I've endowed a fourth of my kingdom to my son Philip. He doesn't really enter into the story either, except for the fact that his wife at one time was Herodias. She's a real charmer. Talk about crazy. The last quarter of my territory goes to my son Antipas. He's the ruler over Perea and Galilee during the ministries of Jesus and John the Baptist. He's the one that harasses Jesus while he's alive, and he's a participant in the trial of Jesus that led to his crucifixion. Antipas kills John the Baptist because John is critical of Antipas' marriage to Herodias, Antipas' brother's former wife, the crazy charmer. Antipas' son, Agrippa I, rules over much of Judea. He's the one who kills the apostle James. Agrippa I's son is Agrippa II, the one eaten by worms in Caesarea in the time of Paul's ministry. I could go into much more detail, but I'm sure you get the idea of how influential my children and grandchildren will be in the lives of Jesus and his followers. Have you ever wondered if you're crazy? If you were, how would you even know? You couldn't trust your own opinion. You couldn't trust your closest friends. Your world could be completely upside down, but it would seem absolutely normal to you. I no longer wonder if I'm crazy. Now, my story is interesting. Well, at least it is to me and to those who care about the birth of Jesus. My father is Antipater the Edomian. He was from Edomia, the land known in the past as Edom. Edom, an ancient foe of Israel. My mother is a Nabataean noblewoman. History shrouds our family's past, but it is likely that my father's family converted to Judaism at some time in that past. My father, the slickest politician I've ever known. He became a minor official in Judea at a very young age. When Rome's Pompey the Great conquered Judea, my father switched sides to be an official under Pompey. When Julius Caesar and Pompey fought a civil war, my father switched to Caesar's side. In fact, my father saved Caesar when he was trapped in Alexandria. That changed the future of the world, and ensured the success of my father. He became the first Roman procurator of Judea. Dear old dad set the one rule for my family's future. Above all, be loyal to Rome. At 25 years of age, I was appointed governor of Galilee. I kept the peace and collected taxes, but the Jews hated my brutality. I was named king of the Jews by the Roman Senate. They wanted someone to control the country of Judea in the name of Rome. Well, I took control militarily and by marrying correctly. Well, correctly the second time. I did have to banish my first wife. With the influence of Mark Antony, I had total control of Judea by 34 BC. I was about 40 years old. Now, when I became king of Judea, the Romans gave me almost complete control. As long as I kept civil order and collected taxes, Rome left me alone. The Jews were a different story. I was a half-Jew whose family had a questionable conversion to Judaism in the first place. The Jews hated me for that, and for my innovative, brutal, method of keeping order and collecting, extorting taxes. For the next 30 years until my death, we had a delightful, antagonistic relationship. I became fabulously wealthy during my reign as king, but nobody will remember that. There have been many fabulously wealthy men in history. I will be remembered for thousands of years because of my building projects, and there were many of them, some of which would have been enough to cement my place in history, each by themselves. My three most infamous projects were Caesarea, the Masada, and the Temple Mount. Caesarea was the first deep water port built on the Mediterranean coast. It completely changed the flow of international trade, helped make Judea more prosperous than it had been in 1,000 years, and it helped make me incredibly rich. Masada was a palace fortress that I built on a huge plateau overlooking the Dead Sea. It became notorious as the refuge that Jewish rebels took over and defied a Roman army. So much for Dad's family rule to be loyal to Rome. Masada is a famous symbol of Jewish independence in modern times. But my favorite project was the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where the temple was located. It exists in modern times and is the focal point of Jerusalem for many people. I literally cut off a mountaintop and flipped it over to make a huge, flat platform that became the Temple Mount that you still see today. Some of the stones were as big as railroad cars and are cut perfectly level. Part of the trial of Jesus will take place on the Temple Mount some 30 years after my death. Well, as you can imagine, none of these projects was cheap. So the people of Judea had to pay taxes to make them happen.
Add that to the list of reasons the Jews hated me.
But enough about me. Let's talk about that baby. Baby Jesus. A caravan from Babylon arrived at my palace in Jerusalem. Now, this was no ordinary caravan. It carried magi from Babylon, who were famous for their magic and astronomy and wisdom. A small army protected them and their riches, so it was clearly a wealthy, royal group of individuals. They had already stopped by my palaces in Machaerus, Masada, and Jericho, looking for me. I had hoped that these men were wanting to sign a trade agreement. I immediately brought them into my court. And without so much as a hello, they asked about the location of this newly born king of the Jews. They said they had seen his star rise. They wanted to find him. They wanted to worship him. I leave the room to have a chat with my advisors. The Bible says I was disturbed by this, and all of Jerusalem with me. Oh, I was disturbed, all right. I was the king of the Jews, and they wanted me to help them find my replacement? I was a renowned mass murderer. Murder was my favorite political tool. The city of Jerusalem trembled to think how I would react. I considered wiping out the caravan of magi. Disrespect and impudence must be extinguished. I bring the Jewish leaders and teachers together to ask about this king, this Messiah, and where he will be born. Well, they immediately know of a prophecy saying he will be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Are you kidding me? Have you been to Bethlehem? This entourage in Bethlehem. It's crazy to even ponder. But I hatch a new scheme. I return to the Magi, and I inform them that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, only 6 miles away. I humbly ask them to find the Messiah using their wisdom, and I beg them to come and tell me where the Messiah is located so that I may worship him too. We talk about the star and the signs they've seen, and I gather that the Messiah has been born within the last year or so, maybe even more recently. Not a specific target, but a target all the same. Now, if I take an army to Bethlehem, the Messiah's followers will hear all about it and escape. Instead, when the Magi return with their information, I will take a small group of soldiers in the night and capture him. Or maybe I'll send an assassin. I've done that often enough. Although, I could always change my mind. So many alternatives to rid myself of yet another potential rival. I am the king of the Jews. You think that's going to change because of some baby born in Bethlehem? Yeah, that's crazy.